Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
You give me one shot here on a blue chip stock. Believe me, Kevin, the only problem you're going to have is that you didn't buy more.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up, down, sideways, or in circles.
What's going on, NBA Draft fans? Your boy is back. It's the NBA Draft Dude. My name is Corey Tulliba, and I'm not joined today by my co-host, Albert Garbage Time Gim, but I found a very good replacement for Albert on today's show. We have Marcus Sasser from the Houston Cougars with us. Marcus is a 22-year-old senior guard, will be 22 on draft night, measured in at around 6'3". At the combine last year with a 6'7 wingspan, played 31 minutes per game, 17 points per game, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 2-1 assist to turnover ratio, 1.6 steals, shot 44% from the field, 38.4% from 3, 85% from the line on a career high, 4.2 attempts, true shooting percentage of 60% back-to-back years, PER of 25, BPM of 12 this year. Marcus, what's going on, man? I appreciate you joining me.
Yes, sir. I'm doing good. Appreciate you for having me, man.
Yeah, we are real excited to chop it up with you today, man. You had a hell of a season. Have you officially declared for the NBA draft yet?
Not yet, but you know, I am. It's kind of obvious, but I haven't put it out yet.
All right, you haven't put it out, but you're on the show, yeah, an NBA draft show, so I guess we could say it's out there now, right?
Say that, yeah, for sure.
That's an exciting times, man. Congratulations. I mean, you had an amazing career, you have an exciting future ahead of you. Now, you know, with that said, you were on a tear last year before you got hurt, but you made it back, and you got ready for the combine. You tested the waters. What made you want to come back for your senior season?
It's just, you know, I still had doubt, you know, when I was doing the combine process, like the draft process, you know, I still had doubt of just if I was going to get picked. You know, they had me on a lot of boards, you know, late second round and things like that. But I just wasn't sure, and I wanted to be 100% sure. So I went back to school and, you know, had a great run. Great experience, and then I know I could go get better, you know, for one more year at the University of Houston, especially with all them coaches, and then just, you know, having them fun moments with my teammates. You know, I feel like them moments, memories, you're gonna last forever. So it was fun.
What do you think is gonna be like the most memorable part of your journey in college?
Most memorable, I'll probably say just being with them guys every day. We was literally together 24/7. So, you know, our bond is kind of like a brotherhood, and just building that relationship with them. I couldn't give you like a specific, you know, game or time, but I'll really probably just say this year, if we've been my senior season, you know, it was great. We only lost 4 games. So just going on the road all the time, winning, playing in front of the fans, you know, it was always fun. So.
I think anybody who's like been a part of a team, like just the overall experience of it, right, is like the things you look back on, the dinners, you know, the hanging out afterwards, grinding together, sharing the same goal. So for sure, for anybody who isn't familiar with your game, how would you describe yourself to somebody who hasn't watched you play yet?
You know, great teammate, just. I can space the floor by shooting the ball. A pesky defender, you know, I like playing defense, you know, kind of give me that energy going. And then just the all-around team player, you know, I try to I really try not to worry about the big thing, you know. That's something that Coach Sampson really installed in us. You win by doing the little things good. So just being a little things guy and then just playing real, real hard, you know, when I'm on the court, just giving it my all.
I couldn't agree more. The first thing that you said, you know, talking about your shooting, and I mean, I definitely think that you got to start there. The NBA, the game right now, it's about spacing the floor. It's about shooting. And we're going to hop into a little bit of your film. I mean, not only can you space the floor, but, you know, you have some legitimate range. What is the process like building out, you know, logo range? You know, what's your routine to actually get to be consistently shooting the ball out that far?
Really just legs and then repetition. You know, when I'm working out and practicing, you know, I'm shooting shots from that deep. But in that moment right there, that's something that me and Jamal do a lot of times. You know, he push it down the floor and kick it back. But it's funny because during that position, we was going back and forth. You know, we skipped the media timeout, all that, so everybody was tired. And I just came behind him, and, you know, I just seen space, and I just used my legs and let it go.
Yeah, I mean, that is crazy distance. And, you know, you see shooters in the NBA have the freedom to kind of, I mean, at what point did you feel comfortable enough, like, if you take a shot and you missed, like, you weren't going to end up on the bench during your college career?
I'd probably say my sophomore year. You know, my sophomore year, that's when I became, you know, defined as a real good shooter on the team. You know, Coach kind of gave me that green light my sophomore year. So any shot that I took, you know, if it was a good shot, I was going to take it. And, you know, they used to yell at me and fuss at me for not taking the shot. You know, I'll probably get benched for not taking the shot rather than taking it. So.
And now you can put, what does that do for your teammates?
It just, you know, get them confidence too, you know, especially when you're in the gym and you see me working out. I just feel like it gives them the confidence when we're in the game to shoot that same shot. Because, you know, I get them confidence too. You know, I get on them when they're not shooting the ball and they wide open. So it's funny though, because when I don't shoot the ball, it's like everybody getting on me. But it just comes with, you know, hard work, I feel like. And then just it's a winning play. You know, if you're a shooter and you open, you should shoot that shot, you know, because you probably ain't going to see another shot like that for a minute during the game.
No, and you get them up. You know, I think per 100 possessions, you were at like 14 threes per 100 possessions, which is like, that's like legit NBA volume. And, you know, you don't just have that, like, let me pull up from the logo off like a DHO or a kick out. Like, you can get your shot off with your handle. I think that arguably you have the tightest handle in the whole draft. I mean, you turn the ball over 1.5 times a game for somebody who has the ball as much as you. That's like pretty phenomenal number. How did you develop your handle to the point where, I mean, it's basically an extension of your hand?
Just since I was a kid, really. I used to always just dribble around the house. And I always used to just have a ball with me. But I'd probably say, when I came to college my freshman year, you know, that's when I really started to learn how important your handle is. Because, you know, at first I just came in as a shooter, spot-up shooter, but then that's kind of one-dimensional. And, you know, I needed to find a way to get my shot off. So that offseason, you know, I just worked super hard on my handles and just learning different moves and stuff to create space with the dribble and then just finishing the shot. So I say when I got to college, you know, I realized how important your handle was to create a shot.
Who's on your NBA handles Mount Rushmore?
Ooh, Kyrie at the top. Well, how many? Four.
Kyrie's Steph. A no-brainer.
Yeah, Steph. Ooh, Kyrie, Steph. Then I have to go Trae Young. Probably CJ McCollum.
I like that. That's a good one. CJ's underrated.
Yeah, definitely.
His handle's tight. And I mean, like I said, you use that handle to get into your bag and create your own shot. And I think, you know, watching your film, I think that it would be to say that your step back, not like a deadly go-to move that you have, that it feels like you can kind of get off whenever. And I mean, you got different, you know, cadences, different pace. And when do you know that, like, you got your defender right where you want him and you can bust out that step back and get a clean look off?
Usually when he's when his shoulders turn, like, you can kind of tell on that play right there. When I went between my legs and was about to go hard left, you know, as soon as he turned his shoulders, I just knew to step back. And that's kind of something, you know, I do. As soon as somebody get off balance, I just feel like if you step back and you square, it's impossible for them to really contest that shot where it affects your shot. So it's all a mental game when you're on the court. But that's one of the main things I look at when I'm about to do my step back, is just if they body turns it. You know, if I got to take one more dribble, then I will. But usually once I set them up with a counter or something like that, they body turn and the step back just be right there.
The right window treatments change everything. Your sleep, your privacy, the way every room looks and feels. At Blinds.com, we've spent 30 years making it surprisingly simple to get exactly what your home needs. We've covered over 25 million windows and have 50,000 five-star reviews to prove we deliver. Whether you DIY it or want a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we have you covered. Real design professionals, free samples, zero pressure. Right now, get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Plus, get a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Yeah, and I mean, those counters, getting to read how the defender is guarding you, that's stuff that, you know, you see from a lot of high level NBA guards. And one of the guys that I look at him play and I look at you play, I see a little bit of similarities in how you get into your offense is Tyrese Maxey from the Sixers. And, you know, this move here, a step back, and it's one of those step backs where you kind of use the gather to create that little bit of extra space. So this you have in your bag as well. So let me pull up this clip of you here just to see the similarities between the two. Is Tyrese Maxey somebody that you watch at all, that, you know, you kind of take little things from him?
Yeah, that's my guy. You know, we kind of grew up in the same area, so yeah, I've been watching him like that. But when he got to the league, he just went to another level. But yeah, you can kind of say we play the same, you know, just the way he create his shots. But he's, you know, athletic and fast too, so he can get downhill. But his separation, you know, is real similar to mine, especially around the arc.
Yeah, and you know, this combo that you bust out, I feel like, you know, there's a little different because kind of had like a little push dribble, and you got this guy on an island, but just that little cross between the legs into the little footwork there. I mean, that's smooth. That's, you know, that's NBA level shot making. Are there anybody, like, who else besides, you know, Tyrese, do you watch in the league that you're like, ooh, that guy's tough? Like, let me see if I can add something, you know, to my bag that I saw in you know, whatever game I'm watching.
I watch a lot of Dame. I watch a lot of Steph. You know, I try not to take too much Steph, though, because he's just different. I watch a lot of Bradley. You know, I really watch a lot of guards, you know, around my size, just to see how they get their shot off and things like that. And another one, you know, I watch is Fred Van Fleet. He real tough.
Yeah, Fred is I mean, you know, for somebody like, you know, he's got to be under 6 feet. Yeah. And for him to be able to, you know, get into the offense the way that he does, he's crazy. And he's a dog on defense too. Like he'll get into you for sure. Now, another option that you could use at the next level that, you know, I'm not, because they have a big like Joel to, you know, and you had a few of those bigs in Houston as well. They're these quick pitch actions where, you know, you said Tyrese is really good at getting a lot. Defenders will try to go under and that way they can meet him. And, you know, when if you go yeah. under, let that fly. And I thought last year at the combine, I thought you did a really good job in those actions showing what happens when one guy goes under and what happens if they go over. And I feel like, you know, it really did a good job of kind of showing the feel you have and the understanding and the maturity that comes from, you know, being an older player. So let's pull that up. One of these quick pitch actions goes on, boom, knockdown, right? When you see that much space, I mean, is there any hesitation at this point?
No, what you call, you know, the pitch back at Houston, you know, we call them booms. And that's just like where you throw it to them and you read them. But I like playing behind the big, you know, especially when you have range. It kind of give you an advantage because, you know, you really can't just jump over the big. So that's something, you know, I try to work on, especially, you know, try to get downhill. And I feel like it just kind of confused the defense because, you know, if they switch, then you got the big on you. If they don't switch, then you got a shot. Like if you go under, but then if you go over the screen, then you just get downhill and play 2-on-1 and then just read the backside. So it's just, I feel like it's almost really unstoppable, you know, especially if you had a right big on your team. Yeah, like that.
Yeah, for sure. And I love this because the same kind of thing, Scottie Pippen Jr. gets back over. Yeah, and you hit the roll man, show off a little bit of that playmaking. And that's what makes it unstoppable, right? Because once you knock down that shot, they gotta chase you over, right?
Right.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the ability for you to see over the defense and make that's it's a really, really tough shot. Now in the NBA, you know, you handled the ball a lot. You played off you know, one of the best point guards in the country yourself. But in the NBA, you know, you might be also playing off of LeBron James. You might be playing off of Luka. So not only can you get your own shot with the ball in your hands, but you could spot up and you could shoot it off movement, right? Like this is, you know, I love this shot. Tough, quick release. What kind of stuff do you do to work on that quick release where it feels like you're unbothered completely by the defense and running off movement? I mean, shoot, that's a tough shot. Knockdown.
Just repetition. That's the shot, you know, I kind of work on, just coming from the baseline, kind of like a floppy set. You know, we work on them. And then as far as the quick releases, you know, you rep them too. You do – when you wide open, you know, got to knock it down, take your time, and then you do catch it up high, and then you do quick releases. So to me, it's really just repetition, being in the gym. That's why I just feel like I'm comfortable, especially when it comes to catch and shoot, because, you know, you should already have your feet set when you catch the ball. And that's kind of what they taught me in Houston, too, you know, to catch the ball really off two. But on that one, you can see I one-twoed it. But usually, I turn my whole body around to be square. But that shot really just come with repetition right there.
Take me through this shot here in this possession. You know, I mean, you were a tough shot maker. No doubt about that, right? Does coach ever, you know, kind of get on you in these early shot clock off the bounce? I mean, you create separation a million times in your life, but is there any time when you guys are watching film where it's just like, sometimes let's pull it out?
Yeah, definitely. You know, usually I really just be reading the defense. You know, I like playing in transition. That's kind of where I feel like I can get my easy buckets. So, but, you know, that's kind of the thing, how you got to be smart with it, know when to take the shot, time and score. And I feel like that's just going to come with more experience, you know. But he really don't say much to me, you know, when I miss it, because if I shoot it again, next time it probably will go in, and, you know, he probably ain't going to say nothing. But he do tell me sometimes, you know, we could have got a better shot, could have got into something like that. But it's never him just yelling at me or things like that. And, you know, that just come with the freedom. Like, I feel like at the next level, you ain't going to have that freedom as soon as you get in. So, you know, I feel like that's just going to help me as a player, you know, not just being able to take them wild shots like that.
You, and I'm sure it was like that too early on. Like, you got to earn them, right? Like, and I mean, when you shoot 40% on the volume that you do, you kind of get that freedom. You said that you like playing out in transition. A lot of teams, I mean, not only is NBA about spacing, but it's about pace now. And, you know, the Warriors, they like to play fast, right? They like to space the floor. And he's a guy, he's got another guy who shoot the ball off bounce, shoot off the catch, shoot it off of movement, and he's got a quick trigger. So I like this. Yeah. Gets to a spot, no hesitation, splash. You got that in your game?
Yeah, definitely. Love playing the transition. It's just, I don't know, it's just something about it. It's like the defense always on their heels. You know, you going forward, they going back. I just feel like it's real hard to stop you in transition, especially like you seen that right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you definitely have that. And, I mean, we could pull up a clip right here. You know, almost the same thing. Same spot in transition. Right off a little quick pitch, and you let it fly. I mean, I think that when you watched your team this year, you guys were just so athletic that getting out, turning defense into offense, you know, it felt like when you guys could get easy buckets like this, easy shots like this, it felt like, you know, teams were really at your mercy playing fast. How important is it to, like, set the tempo, set the pace, and, you know, get everybody playing free and fast and fun?
To me, that's real important. That's kind of what we do. We try not to run plays, really. We try to play in transition, you know, most of the game. We have this thing called, like, unscripted buckets, unscripted points. And basically, that's just, like, the points where you ain't running no plays or executing no plays. It's just off in transition, swing, shot like that. And I just feel like it's better because most of the time in transition, you gonna have an advantage, even if it's like 5-on-4. And, you know, that's kind of why I like defense a lot. You know, that's why I feel like defense always going. Like, I get a steal here, 3-on-1 fast break, we're gonna score off of that. So it's just easier to me to play in transition than it is when everybody set up, help playing the passing lanes and things like that.
Yeah, for sure. And I want to put up a transition bucket here, shifting away from your shooting for a little bit. I want you to I was at this game, drove up to Philly, and I have a story for you after after you take me. You get that Euro step like crazy in your bag. Take me through this. This is one of the smoothest Euro steps you're going to find around.
It was really crazy. I got the steal, and I was finna just go try to lay it up with my left hand, but then I looked back and I seen he was finna try to block it. So when I took the first step, I just tried the Euro to the other side, and it's crazy. I tried the Euro fast, but like, he came under me so slow, I kind of just had to stay in the air for a minute. And then I finally got to the other side, then I just laid it up. But when I seen it after the game, it was crazy. I was like, dang.
And when I saw that, you know, I'm at this game as an impartial judge, right? Like, I'm not, you know, rooting for the home team. and I'm surrounded by people who are rooting for Temple there. And there was this old dude behind me, and after he finished that, he just went off like, it's a travel, you know, they don't teach the fundamentals anymore. And I was dying, because that's skill, man. Like, yeah. And that's something that with that it's not like you don't have that in your bag other than that one play. Like, you bust that Euro step a lot. And this is kind of similar. It's not as accentuated as the one in transition, but you have that like change of speed. You kind of glide in the air, and you really create space off of it. I mean, how much work do you do in this little in between area to try to, you know, counter how bigs can guard you?
It's really just, you know, it's a quick decision, really. Like that, I was going to just float it off my right leg, but he just was so close to me that I had to, you know, take. That's kind of the thing I try to do a lot. I just use that first step just really to read my defender, and just always knowing I got that second step in the back of my head, and you can go anywhere with it. So that's why that off leg finishing, once I found out about that and people started using that, you know, the quick one leg, I just felt like it could just expand your game way more. And that's really what that just came from. And then I just tried to glide right back to the middle and just float it right over the top.
It was funny, the off leg finishing, a lot of like, you know, because I've coached high school basketball for like 10 years, and a lot of the older coaches, they still, like, if you're on the left side of the court, they still want you to come off your right always and go up your left. Like, there's that old school. I mean, I feel like that this new school approach where you don't know what foot you're going to hop off of, it makes it so hard on the big to kind of guess the timing of when you're going to jump, right? So that footwork, I mean, you know, got to be hours in the gym. And I like this one right here. You get into your footer again, because to get to your spot, you like throw the ball ahead a little bit and you meet it at the NBA level. Every, you know, split second counts, right? Even, and obviously you guys were number one team in the country for almost all season. So at your level, every split second counts too. How much does little crafty things like just throwing the ball ahead a little bit, you know, get clean looks?
That's, you know, real key. Especially, it's just pace. You know, that's kind of the big thing I came back on, you know, since I went to the combine and went to a couple camps. I came back my senior year. That was really my main thing, just trying to play at my own pace. And that don't mean you always got to go fast. That don't mean you always got to go slow. And on this particular play, I just felt like he got over the screen just a little bit. So if I threw it out in front of me, and it wasn't nobody in front of me, so if I threw it out far enough and go get it, I can catch up in time. But that's just, I got that from like CP3 and Ja Morant. You know, if you watch them, when they come off pick and rolls, they'll go throw it and just rise up, pull up, or get into the floater. So that's just film and work, really.
So not only are you, you know, kind of paying attention to your man, you know, trailing, but you're looking at where the help is, who can kind of dig at you, who could step up, and you know, you see that you got all that room, you can get right into it.
Yeah, definitely. Who is that? I think that's Cook. He was staying out to Jamal, so I just knew when I came off the screen, I had all that area, all that space, and then I just threw it out there, went to go get it and floated it.
That was a tough bucket. Now, do you ever think that, you know, sometimes maybe you settle for your floater a little bit too much? Like maybe you could get to the paint or maybe even kind of make a play for your teammate. You know, you kind of signal to the ref that you got fouls here. But take me through this. Like if you could get this one back, is there anything else, you know, you see that you might do instead?
Yeah, I would have. Definitely probably played off two. I kept my dribble and tried to create a play. When I got downhill, I just felt like the big was so far back, and then the floater was just going to be there. But if I kept my dribble, mm-hmm. I probably could have probed it, then either made the right play, or I probably would have had a floater myself off 2 feet instead of that 1 foot floater going left.
Yeah. I think you even, like, you could watch Jamal, like, on that weak side hit, too. He's kind of out to the and I want to get into your playmaking a little bit right now too, because I think that you share the ball handling duties. You know, you didn't necessarily always have the ball in your hands, the high usage to kind of, you know, rack up like those gaudy assist numbers. But when you did have the opportunity to kind of, you know, come off a ball screen or attack a closeout, that you did a really good job of finding your teammates. And, you know, especially because, to be honest, the paint was pretty packed out. You guys played with, you know, two non-shooters for the most part. And you're probably the best shooter on the team, right? But, you know, you definitely trusted your team in paint here. I mean, look at that defense that you collapse. You know, make the great. When you collapse the defense, how like aware are you of you know where your guys are at on the court?
I usually always know, you know, without even looking, it's gonna be somebody in the corner. If you know, you can see the strong side corner, but usually I always know it's gonna be somebody in the weak side corner too. And then just depending on what set we running, I know where they at. Mm-hmm. But on a particular play, you know, just being aggressive, getting downhill, and then I just seen them at the corner of my eye, and I tried to give it to them right on target. But that just came with a lot of experience, really. Just learning when to make the right play and then making it at the right time.
How much do you think, like, the extra space on an NBA floor is going to help your game?
I just think it'll help a lot. You know, people can't help as much, and if they do help, you can just zip it right to whoever they helping off of. And that's, like I said, when I went to the combine, you know, the game, it wasn't easier because, you know, the competition, but as in just making reads and having space to operate, that part was easier for sure. So yeah. I think, you know, at next level, even though you got people that's taller, more athletic, stronger, IQ higher, I think the space on the floor still makes it hard, like, for anybody to defend, really.
What do you think the most underrated part of your offensive game is?
Probably, yeah, my passing. Just because, you know, if you, like, you watch a lot of film, one thing I do is I always try to make the right play, you know, and I just love to win, so you know, if that means I have to go out there 20, that's what I'm gonna do. But you know, a lot of teams, they plan against you and things like that, and just making the right play is always, you know, that's always first priority in my head. You know, when I catch it, if I got an open shot, but if I see a shooter in the corner and somebody closing out, I'm not gonna shoot it. I always make the extra pass, and you know, that's just I think that's just my way of playing basketball, really. It's just a habit. You know, I don't even be thinking about it, really. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I mean, that's how NBA teams want to play. They want to play like 0.5 basketball where you can make quick decisions. You know, if NBA teams want to turn good shots into great shots. So, you know, if you got a 45% shooter in the corner that you might be playing with and he's open, you got to make that pass. And you absolutely do that time and again. That's why throughout your career, you know, you've won so much. You've had these deep tournament runs. Do you think that, you know, you've had to sacrifice your game at all, and your teammates have had to sacrifice their games at all in order to like find that kind of team success?
Yeah, definitely. Just especially when you're on a talented team like this, or, you know, even you know, just having so much talent on one team, everybody got to sacrifice some. And it's just, it kind of make the game easier too when everybody's sacrificing. Like this year, I feel like all five of us on the court could pass the ball. So when we was all, you know, making the right plays and hitting the roller and hitting the extra pass, it just, the game was kind of easier. Everybody was getting open shots. And I feel like it was just hard to guard. especially when you got five guys that can pass and willing to pass. So it's, you know, it's fun playing with people that want to pass.
Now, you were, you know, your team had a lot of vets on it, but and normally on, you know, in college basketball, those kind of teams are the teams that, you know, go far. And but you had a guy on your team, Jairus Walker, who freshman, and he played a major role. What was it like playing with him?
It was fun just seeing him develop, you know. First couple of games, first five games, you know, you can just see he was going to be real good for us. He was real athletic, and his IQ was crazy. You know, he was a freshman, but his IQ, he felt like he'd been out there with us, you know, for a minute. And he just real talented and skilled. So It was really play with him, honestly. And like I said, the way he thinks the game is just, it's crazy. It's like I really never seen nothing like it, especially at his age. He just, like, he's a four, or he's not even a four. He like a big guard. And I'm in my eyes, he's like a big guard. And that can pass. So it just made the game easier. And then just seeing him develop day by day and just seeing his hard work pay off, you know, it was fun playing with him for sure.
Yeah, you guys would run like an inverted pick and roll sometimes, or like pick and pop, where he would initiate and you would pop, and that's tough to defend. I've heard from people from like behind the scenes that like he didn't even get to show off his whole bag, but like if you came to a practice, he would do some stuff that, you know, is really going to pop at the next level.
Yeah, he can dribble. He can dribble good, you know. That's what I'm saying. When we play one-on-one, it's if it ain't your day, walk, go in. Like, he real hard to guard. You know, he legitimate 6'8" and 2-something. He a man child for real. So
yeah,
real skilled. That's why it's so hard to guard him. It's like he 6'8" but handles, can shoot. Then if you put four other people out there with him, he gonna make all of them better. So yeah, he one of a kind.
Yeah, you guys were a lot of fun to watch for sure this year. I want to break down a little bit of your defense, because you mentioned earlier, like, that's a big part of your game. And I don't think that, you know, maybe you could argue Jay Clark, but I don't think there's anybody else better in basketball at playing the passing lanes and patience you have on these, like, pick sixes is crazy. Yeah. So, because if you watch your feet, you're already out before the guard even makes the pass. So what are you reading here that you know that you could have a layup or a dunk?
I really just read that big. If the big pops, I know that's probably like the guard's first option. You know, he's going to throw it back. And Jamal right there, he had great back pressure on it. So I knew the ball wasn't just going to be a laser to him. So I just kind of hesitated for a little bit. And then once I seen him finna throw it, I just took off. And that's just something come with experience, really, just playing. And then just liking, you know, the fact of playing defense. You know, I like playing defense no matter if it's on the ball, off the ball. I just like generating turnovers. So that's just something, you know, I do a lot, especially on the side pick and rolls. I love side pick and rolls when the big pops. And I'm on the side. I just feel like that's a steal every time.
Yeah. What are your, like, how do you guys guard ball screens as a team? Like, what are your team concepts when you have those side ball screens?
On that last one, what you seen, that was like kind of like a blue, and it's basically just down in the ball screen, and then you got the other two weak guys, they just load over. So it's really just a discourage the pass or the roller so they can just back it up and play again. But you know, when you just been there for a minute and you start ring defenses or ring offenses, you just know you can run through the passing lanes like that. And sometimes, you know, I don't come over there, you know, I try to bait them into throwing it, so I take a minute. But
and I think one of the things, because you are all athletic, still on the ball, like, you're not gamble on pokeaways, like, you'd rather force guys shots and kind of force them to maybe make an errant pass, steal off the ball. And one of the things you do is hold your chest.
Right.
I mean, what kind of stuff do you do every day competing against each other defensively to, you know, string together like this?
We do a lot of drills on defense. You know, when we first start the season or the year off, our first couple of practices is really just teaching our defense, teaching the fundamentals of our defense. And Jamal, he probably the best defender, on-ball defender in my eyes in college. So just knowing me and him on the same backcourt, you know, it kind of just give us confidence. You know, it was one point of the year where we was counting each other's steals. Like, I got one more steal than you. He got one more steal than me. But we was always, like, it was always a one or two difference. So it's kind of just fun just to compete with him, you know, when, especially when you got another guard that likes playing defense, likes to get steals, and just like locking people up. You know, that's kind of what we talk about that too. Like, it's crazy. Like, we just talk about locking people up. We watch defensive highlights together, and we just try to use it in the game.
I mean, it seems like Coach Sampson recruits guys who want to play defense. Like, you guys all have that mentality. Like, you guys are mean on the court. You know, you don't make it easy for if an offensive player is going to get off, you're going to make them work for it, right? So that's definitely something that you definitely get that by watching all of you. And I think you see the trust too, like from when you know are playing in those passing lanes. I think you could only really do that if you know that you got somebody, you know, behind you that if you miss, they're going to be able to cover your back, right? And that was something that you guys did all year long, even when the offense bogged down, as able to get it done defensively. This one, you know, on a tough guard. What's it like defending these quick, shifty guards who get their own shot, you know, out on an island like that? What are you kind of, you know, looking at to defend him? What are you reading? And what are you trying to do on this possession here?
On that one, I was just really just trying to take away his strong hand. So you can kind of see he got me a little bit. I just really like trying to force people to play, not to their weakness, but basically just taking away their best strength. And, you know, I feel like if you're dumb in the hand is your right hand, and, you know, we go through scouting report and things like that. If I pick up a tendency that you like to go right a lot, that's probably what I'm gonna try to cut off, you know, especially in the ISO like that. And I live with, you know, a contested three pointer like that. But if it's that's like his main, if his go to thing is like a step back, or he can shoot the three ball real well, then I would have crowded him a little bit more, and probably would have tried to force him to help or something like that. But ISO situation like that, I just really just tried to take away his.
What about this one? This is Caleb Battle, tough shot maker. What are you trying to force him into? He's tough. I mean, you're riding his hip. You're riding his hip there. You're attached. You're shadowing him.
Like you said, that's kind of one of the things we try to do. Is just really trying to make him uncomfortable. Really,
like in the NBA, you'll live with a contested mid-range shot. Like, is that something that you kind of try to force as well in the college level?
Against him, yes, because he's, like you said, he's a tough shot maker, especially behind the three-point line. So in that situation, you know, I live with him going to the goal, and as you can tell, he was going to his left also. So that was another dude I was trying to take away his right hand, and really just not let him rise up. And just have a clear shot to the goal. So that was, you know, good defense in my eyes. And like I said, he's a tough shot maker though. You said you was at that game, right?
He is. Yeah, he went off in the first half.
Yeah. So I was living with that.
But you guys held him down in the second half though. You you know, he was those shots weren't going in quite as often. I mean, and that's what you're trying to make guys do, right? Like, if you can, if guys are going to hit tough shots, sometimes they're just going to hit tough shots. I mean, you're a tough shot maker too, right? Like, sometimes guys play good defense and it's just better offense, but eventually, you know, that defense is going to wear on you because it doesn't just come from you. You guys play total team defense, and that means that you guys are rotating and you're in the right spots. And, you know, right here, I mean, there's a good rotation here. How important is that low man rotation to your team defense?
That's the most, we call that the MIG, really. It's like most important guy. You want to basically just show bodies, especially with certain defenders. I mean, certain offensive players, bodies. And especially, like, that's kind of what we put a tip our hat on, is no easy buckets. If they're going to beat us, you know, try to make them beat us behind the three-point line. Because, you know, it's real easy to make twos. So when the ball gets to the paint, you know, everybody and really just make the shot as difficult as possible. I mean, as hard as possible.
Yeah, and that was a great rotation. And you made the defender think. And you're going in scenario. Like, that's, you know, kind of a big man catching on the roll. And you force him into a miss at the rim just from meeting him at the spot and making him uncomfortable. And I've seen, not only, you know, do you force guys into tough shots, I've seen you make that rotation, you force a charge. And, you know, this is a little bit different here, but you are to take a charge and give up your body and you know, get some floor burn. These kind of winning plays, I mean, have you always been like this, where you just like brace the physicality and just take it on the chest?
It just depends on who I'm guarding. You know, if he a big man like that, I know he gonna run into me out of control. I'm gonna go ahead and brace it and take the contact. But you know, if it's like a guard or something like that, I might just try to go for the steal or something like that. But especially in that situation, you know, I really had no choice because, you know, like you said, I play defense with my chest a little bit. So as soon as he ran into my chest, you know, I just fell back.
Yeah, and that's an easy call. I mean, he's no deceleration. He was coming at you like a locomotive right there, and that's a real deal charge. And I think that's what you need to be in the NBA. You need to be a two-way player. You're a guy who can create offense, but you can go and get it done on the other end. You know, I think at the NBA level, so much of defense is about, you know, being able to play as a team and make certain rotations. Every decision is going to be even quicker. You're going to have to like scram and pre-switch and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then you're also going to have to, you know, be versatile enough to guard multiple spots. How many positions do you think you can guard at the next level?
Oh, 1 through 3 for sure.
That 6'7" wingspan, does that help?
Yeah, definitely. That's kind of my biggest help. You know, a lot of people don't probably realize it, but I got big, I got long arms. So that really helps me when I'm on the defensive end. And then just being tough, you know, just being tough really helps a lot.
Yeah. I mean, that's defense is usually about, like, it starts with the energy and effort, right? And normally, like, the good defenders are the guys you know are tough and you can go into battle with.
Right.
When you're on the court, like I said, it feels like your whole team is mean. You walk around, like, you could sense the confidence in you. You know, you get you guys look locked in. You talk any shit on the court?
If they talk to me, I say something back, but usually I try to let my game talk. I really don't go out there and say much. I might say a little something to the crowd or something like that, but, you know, direct towards a person, to opponent. But if you say something to me, then, yeah, I'm gonna start talking the whole game.
I love that. Is there anybody at the next level that's in the NBA now that you're looking forward to guarding?
Looking forward. I want to guard Steph just to see, you know, how hard it is to guard him. Because, you know, he unstoppable, look like. So I just want
to. You got to find out yourself, guard. Right?
Yeah.
I like that answer because, you know, I've asked this question before, and sometimes players are like, you know, I don't want to make, you know, any lists. I'm just looking forward to guarding whoever. I like you went for the top dog.
Yeah. It's just, you know, I always killing everybody. So I just want to see what it's like.
I love it. Look, so normally the way that we end these shows is we do a little segment called Sell Me This Pen, where me and my co-host, I ask him and he gives like a 30-second pitch for a prospect. So I'm going to let you do it. So if you were, you know, talking to an NBA team, how would you sell them on Marcus Sasser, the prospect?
Real tough. A winner. Real competitive. Yeah, good person on and off the court. You know, he don't have problems like that. A hard worker. And then really just off of the team. You know, that's kind of what's the main thing, really. Just winning and being for the team, I feel like. And then just being a positive, you know, for any team. You know, you can put him on any team and he can turn that negative or whatever to a positive. Really don't worry. I'm just talking about, you know, the good things. I ain't talking about the skills and things like that. But if we want to talk about the skills, a good, like I said, floor spacer, can handle the ball, can play the one or the two, can play off the ball, a good defender, and then a high IQ.
Yeah, and a winner. You won a lot of games at the college level. Winning mentality. Man, Marcus, this was a ton of fun, man. I learned a lot watching the film with you, breaking it down. I love getting to pick your brain. Good luck throughout the rest of the process, man. I know, you know, these are going to be it's going to be a grind the next few months, but, you know, embrace it, enjoy it. And, you know, I can't wait to see what happens with you, man. So I appreciate you coming here and chopping it up.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.